You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. On Monday, Governor Kristi Noem announced what she is calling four cornerstones to enhance government accountability. Now, you might recall that South Dakota has been burdened with significant financial scandal over the years, from fraudulent vehicle titles to scholarship money that didn't find its way to students in need. Political leaders and policymakers have struggled to maintain the public trust in how taxpayer-funded programs are monitored and administered. But Governor Noem is most likely on her way to Washington as part of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet. So the timing of the announcement is raising questions about what the governor can do on her way out the door and what Lieutenant Governor Larry Roden has to work with as he steps up to lead the state. Our Dakota political junkies today are Seth Tupper with South Dakota Searchlight and Jonathan Ellis with the Dakota Scout. Tupper joined us from SDPB's Surgical Hospital Studio in Rapid City. Ellis joined us from SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls.
The timing does make sense in that we are going to have this budget address. We are lurching toward a legislative session here soon, and there has been broad consensus. I mean, the Attorney General has already talked about needing reform issues. We've had lawmakers now saying that this is in the shadow of some pretty high profile fraud schemes committed by state employees. So I think the timing makes sense to me because if you're going to make legislative changes, you want to try to start building some support for that with lawmakers, with the public, and this timing does make sense. This has been an unusual period in terms of politics because we've been so much busier. Typically after an election, things slow down a little bit, but we've had some other issues going on since then. But I think it does make sense in light of we have a session short coming up here.
Seth, we have South Dakota has, I think it's inarguably, a problem with government accountability. Taxpayers for the last decade have had some issues with accountability, transparency, and where taxpayer-funded initiatives end up going. Help put it into context for people why this matters.
Yeah, decade and longer. What was it? Was it the state treasurer? You guys remind me of the story that in the early days of statehood ran off with the entire state treasury.
Founding, yes.
Went to Mexico or whatever. You start with that and you go through the years. And
hasn't always been that bad.
but
noted.
then we come to modern times and the EB-5 scandal with some nefarious activities with a program giving visas to immigrant investors and some investigations there during the administration of Mike Rounds and Governor Dugard, and then come through the so-called Gear Up scandal where there was very sadly a man who killed his family, his wife and four kids, and committed suicide and set his house on fire while he was under investigation for embezzling money from a government program that was being funneled federal funds through the state. And, you come up to the most recent examples now of people allegedly making fake vehicle titles while they worked for the state Department of Revenue, and a woman allegedly stealing funds from the Department of Social Services while she was working there. So inarguably, we've had our problems, as you say, with some corruption issues. And so, when you talk about the timing earlier, it does make sense going into legislation, into a legislative session. But I also thought it felt kind of weirdly rushed and thrown together when you really kind of parse out what was in that press release that the governor sent and what she's really done. Mm-hmm. She told somebody to make a training course, that state government would take. Mm-hmm. And she also said she hired an extra internal control officer. And that's really it. And then she kind of hinted toward a legislative package that she didn't say what it is really or release any of the bills. And for a situation that's been ongoing now for quite some time, and obviously she was busy, we were all busy with campaign season, but it kind of read a little like somebody just thought of this stuff yesterday. Let's make them take a class and let's hire an extra person.
Behind that? It's an interesting time. Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting timing. And Jonathan, you're saying, building, does this read like an announcement that is based on building buy-in?
Yeah, I agree with Seth in that you know, it's like this 35,000 foot view of what we're gonna do, and it kind of, I mean, what are the exact details and how does all of this work? So I agree that it did seem a little bit like, I mean, my eyes kind of glazed over a little bit, but
so do you think there's more coming? Is she getting out ahead of something?
Well, let's see what the legislative package is gonna say.
No, I mean, do you think there's more scandals coming? Is she getting ahead of the next thing?
Whoa, Lord.
That's not a prediction. That's a question.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Look, inevitably, I don't think that, and this is South Dakota, government corruption is something unique to South Dakota. I've lived in other states, and embezzlement in general is not unique to, I mean, businesses are always dealing with that. So, I mean, where there's money in a will, there's always temptation. That's why we have criminal investigators. But where, to the extent that you can put in more internal controls or maybe computer code that can kind of, you know, and maybe AI is a help that you can, you know, to help with these issues moving forward. But,
well, we had, I can't remember if it was just last year, if it was 2 years ago now, because I don't have that right in front of me, where she talked about the aging technology systems for the state of South Dakota and was asking for money to upgrade them for cybersecurity. And it says in the press release, there were safeguards that we can put in now that were just not possible with the state's aging technology systems. So I think we'll see more about what some of that money went to that now you can put new things in, is what I'm reading.
Yeah, and my understanding, too, of some of the, with regard to the $1.8 million that disappeared in the social services over the course of more than a decade, that was detected because of some of these new enhanced procedures and computer methods that they started using, that they did find some irregularities. And so that is an example of maybe where some of this might work.
Yeah. Maybe, Seth, if someone's doing some work with a ledger book and a pencil, that I'm exaggerating. It's time to upgrade some of the systems for our state government that runs pretty lean.
Yeah. In fairness, you know, I think there is more coming during the budget address. I mean, that would not be out of character for Governor Noem or any governor to sort of hint at, you know, something and then give further details in the budget address. So, you know, I guess we'll see if there's an actual legislative package or more coming out. But
it says a legislative package for the 2025 legislative session, including clearer and stronger accountability measures.
Right.
So what do you want? What do you want?
Well, I'd like to see the bills. You know, that was the thing with their press release. It was kind of a strange little nugget from the release where it was like, okay, well, show us the bills, you know, or tell us what's in them. Or it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of there.
Show us the legislative package. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but we could potentially have a new governor.
Yes.
Governor Kristi Noem has been nominated. President-elect Donald Trump has indicated he wants her to lead the Homeland Security Department. So it's very possible by the end of January, just a scant 2 months away, that we will have Governor Larry Roden, and all this will be on his desk. Now, Seth, I have heard nothing but praise about Lieutenant Governor Larry Roden, of people saying he's a stable force, he's experienced, we like working with him, we have a good relationship. Lots of accolades, roses thrown at his feet. How long will that last? Once he becomes governor.
Yeah, I don't know how long it will last. Some of that is because outside of, you know, the political circles that people run in the state, he's not very well known, I don't think. You know, he's sort of an unknown commodity. So in that way, I don't think a lot of people have very strong opinions about him one way or the other. He had 16 years in the legislature. He's been lieutenant governor, but he's never been particularly high profile. He did run for, people forget, I kind of forgot, he ran for U.S. Senate in a Republican primary in 2014. He got 18% of the vote in that primary that then Governor Rounds won and went on to get a seat in the Senate. So I think some of the things that people are saying about him, yeah, they like him, but I think maybe a less flattering flip side to that is they find him not threatening, maybe, you know, and not somebody who will stand in the way of other people's political ambitions. And I would say people like him and respect him. I don't dispute that. But I also think he's probably somebody that people look at as not really a threat to, you know, rightly or wrongly. I don't know.
Sure.
And it's not really a threat to stand in the way of maybe some of the other folks who think they have the inside shot on the governor's race coming up in a couple of years.
Yeah. Also, Jonathan, we need to know who his lieutenant governor is going to be. So maybe everybody likes him a whole lot because they're ready for it.
Yeah, and I think you mean in I think Seth alludes, is he going to be a caretaker governor for a couple years and then stand aside? But I think we'll know a lot by who he does pick for his lieutenant governor. You know, I will say, you know, and talking to Joel Rosenthal, we kind of went over some of this for a piece I did, former GOP chairman, and we kind of went down memory lane a little bit. History has not, with one notable exception, and we'll get to that, history has not been kind to lieutenant governors in this state. Multiple times when they either tried to get the nomination or become, at least in what, two instances, become governor and then were unable to secure their nomination being governor. That would be Harvey Woolman and Walter Dale Miller. Mm-hmm. One notable exception is Dennis Dugard. He was lieutenant governor and was able then to win the nomination. So,
who are we looking for as lieutenant governor pick? Any buzz on the street that we can say? I mean, certainly there's buzz, but
we have a story coming on that. Yeah, but I would think that, you know, I mean, traditionally, so Larry and Seth mentioned that 2014 Senate run, and I covered his announcement here when he was in, I think it was Falls Park, and made, you know, that announcement. And I'll be honest, I like Larry a lot. But he seemed kind of awkward about being in sort of the big city. You know, I mean, he's a ranch guy. I mean, mm-hmm. he, you know, he's comfortable in that world, maybe less so in Sioux Falls. And so I think that, again, you probably if he is thinking about running for this office, I mean, I think that his lieutenant governor pick will signal that that's what he's doing. Mm. I mean, if he was just going to hang out for a couple of years, he'd probably have one of his ranching buddies do it, right? I mean, but if you're trying to build a broader constituency or appeal, I think it's somebody who's probably going to be an East River person, maybe from a bigger city.
Seth, I'm guessing you have a story coming, and I'm guessing SDPB has a story coming. But what do you want to add to our radio conversation right now about what you're looking for a lieutenant governor pick?
You know, what I think about with what must be going through Lieutenant Governor Roden's head, and he hasn't really said much of anything publicly, which is probably smart because, you know, I don't think you want a lot of speculation out there, political speculation, because, I mean, Governor Noem still has to get officially right. nominated and confirmed. Yeah. And if something goes wrong, then all of a sudden you have to reel back in all the yeah. public talk you did about, you know, what you want to accomplish as governor and who you want to be your lieutenant governor and all that kind of stuff. So he's in a little bit of a politically precarious spot there. I mean, mm-hmm. presumably everything will go according to plan and she will get confirmed, but, you know, there's no guarantees. And so it's probably a smart move for him right now to keep all of that pretty close to the vest until it's a sure thing.
What else is up in the air then as we look at the next governor, Senate, House? I mean, there's all kinds of positions that could switch and new people who could come on the scene. It's an interesting time ahead in South Dakota politics, Seth.
Yeah, and it is one of those times that, you know, I think we'll look back on this years from now as sort of a transformative period because, obviously, as you said, Governor Noem's departure from the state, or it looks like she'll depart from the state, really sets a lot of things in motion. Suddenly we have a scramble for who wants to be the next governor, and if somebody like a Dusty Johnson decides not to run, you know, for re-election to U.S. House and to run instead for governor, then we have a scramble for, you know, who's going to be our next member of Congress in that position. And so, yeah, it could be a big period of realignment, which is we've had before, but her decision. And then, you know, does she come back? I mean, that's one of the things I'm really fascinated about is this the last we'll see of Governor Christie Noem as far as political office in South Dakota? Is she basically gone for good? Or could she be back in a couple of years running for, you know, U.S. Senate or something? So,
sure.
Yeah, it's her
or vice
decision.
President.
Right. Yeah. Or president. Her decision to leave for greener pastures, so to speak, really puts a lot of things in motion and puts a lot of political minds spinning, obviously. Mm-hmm.
What do you want to add to that, Jonathan, as we wrap up here? Anything?
Well, just that, I mean, it's we just got done with a very busier than usual election mm-hmm. for us, and now we do have an interesting 2026 one coming up, and things will start to fall into place here probably sooner than normal with yeah. regard to this nomination.
Yeah, and we take it one day at a time. And one gubernatorial press release at a time. Gentlemen, have a wonderful Thanksgiving break, although most of you are probably working a little bit over that break. But please take some time for yourselves and your families.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Lori.